Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
There is no shortage in the news of stories coming after Christians, after conservatives, after the Constitution. We talked a little bit about it last week, John, where rarely do I jump into social media stuff, but I got into one about the Constitution. It really came down to...
It was about your morals. It wasn't about the Constitution.
Yes, basically their response was, yes, everything you're saying is correct, but that doesn't mean it's right. And that's one area they're just unrelenting, and this is the battle we're up against, the cancel culture, what we're experiencing. And with us now to talk about that, he's written a book called Canceling Christianity, How the Left Silences Church, Dismantles the Constitution, and Divides Our Culture. And I agree with all of those. Please welcome to the program, Jack Fiorazzo. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lee. It's a blessing.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you've got a little backstory with radio. You worked with our very own Mike Murphy here years ago, back in the day, and now you've got your ministry and everything you're doing now and the media all involved in that. So it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, I could tell you some stories about Mike. Seriously, that was fun. That was in the 1980s, late 80s, and then I moved out to Southern California, worked at my first Christian radio station out there in Anaheim, and then ended up back in the Midwest. So I'm enjoying it here.
Well, we appreciate it. And I think what you've written about here is something that a lot of us can learn. We talk about it, but we don't always have making sure we have the biblical response and the correct response, that when we come up against these things and how to defend our churches, our Christianity, our Constitution, and the divisions we're seeing in our culture. And I've often mentioned this, that we as Christians are in a unique opportunity, in my thoughts, that we can actually be that bridge to do this. But you really don't pull any punches there in going after the left and their silencing and dismantling of our morals and our Christian culture.
Absolutely. Right. The subtitle on the bottom of the book, How the Left Infiltrates Churches or Silences Churches. That's what they've been doing, because they are intolerant of the biblical worldview. They also dismantle the Constitution. We can argue about that word dismantle. I just go back to last year and the lawlessness we saw in the streets. I thought we had laws against destroying property and burning down buildings and stealing from stores. I thought we had laws.
Yeah.
But anyway, they dismantle the Constitution. They also want to divide our culture. That is by design. So I put that right on the cover of the book. Why did I put that on the cover? Well, I want to call out the left, first of all. And it's true for one thing. But the other thing is, Lee, and this is from a selfish author's perspective, we get a lot of negative reviews on Amazon when people don't like what you're writing about.
Right.
But oftentimes those reviews come from people who haven't even read the book. So in past books, they would write things and I'm going, wait a minute, this person, they don't even know what I'm writing about. They just don't like the title.
Right.
They don't like the idea that we're writing in defense of the biblical worldview, that people are trying to eradicate God. Now, I want to – spoiler alert, right at the beginning of the interview here, right on the back cover, it says in bold letters, our God cannot be canceled. Jesus is Lord. His word is true. It is eternal, and all authority is his. But they're going to come after reminders. We are the reminders. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and I might add, speak the truth. In other words, if people know you're a Christian by what you do and say, and you're speaking biblical worldview in any of these issues that we cover, then you're in trouble. Then people are going to come against you. There will always be opposition. Take it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, the Bible talks about that we will face that persecution. And I think in this day and age, too, there are a lot of Christians, And when we look at it, we see it in what's happening in our government schools. We see it's what's happening within corporations, workplace, and the media, social media, that we become afraid to speak up. Now, we might in smaller circles do it, but it is tough to get out there and put your views out there because of this cancel culture of what will happen, what your neighbors, what people will do to your home, what they'll do to your
what would do.
There's just a story this week about people being let go from a job here in Minnesota. I think they were attorneys or something that they had to do because they were kind of pro-Trump. I mean, there's just all these this weird thing. So how do we, especially as Christians, I mean, if we're afraid to speak up at times, and maybe afraid isn't the right word. We just I'm going to avoid the conflict, so to speak,
yes,
or pick our battles. How do we better equip ourselves to stand strong, just like you were talking about, and being able to defend the dismantling of the Constitution and defend the dismantling, the silencing of our churches?
You know what? This has been a problem for at least 50 years. The church backed out of culture. The radical Johnson Amendment in 1954 didn't help matters because pastors backed out. They stopped talking about issues. But we've just got to have the will to fight. And Lee, I think we've lost that in America generally. Most churches, I'm saying a majority of Christians, evangelicals, churches, we've lost the will to fight these battles. Freedom must be fought for to maintain. And the religious freedoms we have, the First Amendment, our Constitution, you've got to fight. And we haven't done that. So here's where we are, where everything's coming against us. And it seems like it's an uphill battle. Why? Because it is. We have to remember one thing. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against powers and principalities. Like I said in the back of the cover of the book, I try to explain that this is a battle, the heart and soul of America. It's a spiritual conflict, though, underlying what we see happen in the natural physical realm. Forces of darkness, and here's what I say, both human and demonic, are behind today's progressive cancel culture. What do I mean by that? Well, we know there's a demonic realm. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar, and Paul didn't know what he was talking about when he wrote Ephesians 6 and spiritual warfare. So there is a demonic realm. Satan is very real. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We are the targets. The church in America, if you believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ, if you are saved, born again, you are a target. Now, you can be silent or lukewarm, and then you're not a threat. He still hates you, but he's going to get those who are trying to do what the Bible teaches us to do, to obey the word of God, to try to live that out in our lives. He doesn't like that, and it's being played out by minions, people who, some of them are deceivers, some of them are deceived. They don't even know. They don't even know why. They can't explain why they just hated Trump or hated his policies. Because a lot of his policies, really, if you didn't know the guy, if you didn't know who was president, you would go, my goodness, it seems like there's a Christian president in the White House. Look at this. He's standing for religious freedom. He's standing with Israel. He's a friend of Israel, our greatest ally. He's for gender. You know, I mean, he's really saying God created male and female. I mean, he's standing for all these things. For life, pro-life. No one passed more pro-life legislation going back to Reagan. I mean, you're going, wow, Trump did amazing things, and they hated him. And on the surface, it's orange man bad, but underneath his policies, it's just really amazing. And then there's a divide in the church because of that, which we can get into that a little later, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I remember when Trump was first running, I said, you know, there's a lot of things I don't like about it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And he stood the test of time when it came to, again, the number one thing, one of the big things for me was religious liberty, freedom.
Yep.
That was a big, big thing, and we've seen that play out over and over, and we've seen the dismantling of that, and this uptick in the culture and what's happening with the cancel culture. And I think, you know, we're starting to see some of this pushback, and it's kind of showing up in these school boards with parents showing up where they're disgusted by the critical race theory and some of the social studies curriculums that are being pushed through. And you hear these stories of some of the atrocious teachings, especially on sexuality to first graders in schools. And John, the producer, was just telling me before the show, Nickelodeon is losing viewership like crazy, down like a million viewers, because they've kind of added the LGBTQ into all of their shows. Yeah, over the past few years, it's just this push, and people have disliked it. And I think there's a lot of people in this country who haven't spoke up that are, you know, kind of the silent majority, as we say. And I hopefully, just like you're talking about, you read your book, Canceling Christianity, and this is much more than just even Christianity. For those that aren't believers, they have to understand that freedom and religious freedom kind of go hand in hand, and that if we don't get engaged, we got big trouble coming down the pike.
Yeah, and I want to just plug an older book I wrote called The Cost of Our Silence. And one of the men I wrote about was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who once said he was one of the third of the pastors in Germany who stood up to Hitler. And he was actually hanged. He was martyred for his faith weeks before the Allies invaded Germany and the war was over. But he was one that spoke out. One of his famous quotes is, and I just continue to share this, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless." We have a choice to make. This goes back, what you were talking about in the public schools, my goodness, I wrote a little bit about that, the anti-Christian, anti-American indoctrination in our government-run school systems, and there better be an exodus of Christian families and Christian children from these schools if they're finally waking up and seeing what's coming out of these indoctrination centers. And you got to put quotes under the around the word education.
Right.
But I just saw a report today, I think it was, where in grade school, one of these, either a book or a curriculum had the teacher is telling these young children, and these aren't kids. I mean, these aren't adults. These aren't kids. They're children.
Right.
That touching yourself is okay. Experimenting with other sexes and how you feel. Just follow your feelings. Well, you know, what could go wrong, right? They're teaching children all this stuff. Well, this goes back decades upon decades, and we have to recognize it's been a gradual progression. This is under the guise of gradualism. The enemies of God and enemies of America knew they couldn't conquer us militarily. They had to get into our culture. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian Marxist in the 1800s. He was in prison. He wrote all these notebooks. He's famous for his prison notebooks. Well, you're probably very familiar with the concept. He talked about cultural Marxism. Here's the concept. It was to eradicate Christianity in America. How? The only thing they could do to weaken America is to get into the culture. So eradicate the Christian influence by instigating this agenda that you would take over the institutions. In other words, he called it a long progressive march through the major institutions in America over a number of generations. And look what they've done today. Look at today. Look where we're at.
Yeah.
They own the children. You know what Hitler and Stalin and others, those famous quotes about give me 4 years with the kids or give me one generation with young people. And look at how many decades we've given over America's children to the left, to the enemy, to those who hate God.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, joining us, David Fiorazzo. He's written his latest book is called Canceling Christianity, How the Left Silences Churches, Dismantles the Constitution, and Divides Our Culture. It's David Fiorazzo. He was also a guest on Jan Markell's show this past weekend. And that's what we were just talking about. They want nothing to do with the morals or values that this country was founded on. And the document that gets in their way is the Constitution. And they would like nothing better than to be able to change that, or looking at it as being a living, breathing document.
Well, that's why they're trying to dismantle it. Be careful of that dogma, Lee.
Yes.
No, seriously, we used to be able to disagree. We used to be able to have our opinions, even have our beliefs, and even have our faith. But now they've gone from disagreement to criticism to mocking, which is biblical. You read in 2 Peter, we will be mocked. Believers will be mocked for their faith, mocking God. And now they want to silence you. Whenever they talk about unity that Biden does sometimes, oh, yeah, he wants the big uniter, right? That was his plea before he was anyway, I don't even want to say he was elected. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He said, well, we're going to unite everybody. And yeah, he's dividing. What's that?
Oh, that was, he was just playing the Biden clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's just a big lie. It is a lie. You can call him out on it because all he's done is these divisive policies, executive orders, power grabs, and everything else. But now they don't want to just agree. They want to punish you, not just silence you. They want to punish you if you are a Christian conservative, if you don't toe the liberal line. One thing that was very revealing, I don't remember what chapter I wrote about Jerry Nadler, when he said on the House floor that what God's will is no concern of this Congress. That, in American history, knowing our founder, well, of course, a lot of people don't know how we were founded. They don't know our history because it's been edited out of the textbooks
right.
In the government-run schools. But that was a very revealing moment in our history. That was on the House floor. That was our government. And this is a problem when they used to just think it, but now they're coming right out and they're saying it. So this is something that we shouldn't be surprised anymore, but we do have to deal with, don't we?
Yeah. What do we say, David? You know, a lot of times the Christians will say, well, this is, you know, a sign of the times. The Bible talks about this. So therefore, there's, you know, this is what has to happen. You know, again, we're not in the tribulation. This is, you know, I believe that the hour is near 100%. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be engaged in our culture and our government.
Exactly. Well, we have lost a lot of it. I like to use the word the left controls a lot of the institutions, if not all the major institutions in America. That means they have power, they have influence. What are we supposed to do as believers? We stopped engaging generally. Now, there's some people that have been fighting constantly. Give them credit. Kudos for those that are speaking out. But generally, the church is kind of backed out of culture, and we have not engaged. We've looked at, quote, political issues as something we don't want to be talking about.
Right.
When these are the things that are taking our country by storm and hijacking our country, just you can call it demonic, some of this legislation. And some of the word they're trying to change the language and redefine truth, redefine terms. It's just really absolutely absurdism is what it is, because it's moral relativism on steroids. But it's because we haven't engaged. And I always try to encourage people, you've got to try at least speak up. Ask people to defend their stance if they are on the left, if they're coming from the other side, that they're against the biblical worldview. I say ask them questions like, how did you come to that conclusion? Or when they say something about, you know, transgenderism, whatever it might be, just ask them, what do you mean by that? Because oftentimes they can't defend their position. Why? Because they've believed the lies. They've believed the talking points. They're the ones that have been deceived. And all of it, what you were saying, it's very prophetic where we're at now. There's a war on truth because there's a war on Jesus Christ. And so they're in our culture, America, that's the context that the book is generally about. I talk about globalism and the Great Reset, but it's mainly about America. In our history, if you look at how we were founded, our founding fathers, think about how they would react if they could just be alive for like one day and look at the headlines. When you're talking about what's being taught in public schools, or you're talking about what the government is ramming down the people's throats, they would go, wow, this is totalitarianism. They would flip. They would flip. Yeah.
I agree 100%. I've talked about this again, as we as Christians, even if our kids are homeschooled or going to a private Christian school, need to be engaged in running for school boards and things like that, because why else? We shouldn't be astonished or upset to see that what's being taught in our schools, if we've pulled away from the culture, if we don't have Christians there standing up and saying, hey, wait a second, this isn't right. I mean, again, the schools were once, you know, local families getting together and hiring teachers. I mean, remember, we control the school boards, and we do need to be engaged in that. We do need to fight back. We do need to speak up, and truth needs to be told. I mean, there's capital T truth, God's truth, and then there's, like you talked about, this moral relativism, this moral truth that is whatever people feel at the time. What you hear the phrase, my truth, or I'm speaking my, you know, it's all about what they are doing. But there is truth with a capital T, 100%, and it's going to be a rude awakening for many. But I like the aspect you take, David, about, you know, engaging people in the conversation, asking them questions. Because I'm sometimes surprised when I talk to just people. We might be standing in the parking lot after hockey or doing whatever. And a lot of them, you know, they might seem more left, but you ask them a few questions, and they're really more in the middle. Or they go, yeah, you're right, that just doesn't seem right. You get them thinking a little bit and not being spoon-fed what they're getting in the media or what they think or how they think they're supposed to respond to not upset somebody. And that's where we as Christians need to really re-engage, so to speak.
Yeah, you know what? I'm trying to look at this issue of education, and I know it's good to get Christians involved on school boards and for parents to be engaged, but I just don't know on this if we have let it go. First of all, I believe the system cannot be redeemed ever. And now you're saying, wow, you sound like a pessimist. No, I'm being very real, guys. My parents were in education. My sisters were teachers. My uncle was a teacher. I have friends that were teachers. One friend was scolded for having a picture of Ronald Reagan on his wall. Another friend, a woman, had a Bible on her desk. She was told to remove it. These are the things that are happening in the public schools that most people are not aware of. So let me go back to a quote that I put in chapter one of the book. Calvin Coolidge said, "The strength of our country is the strength of its religious convictions. The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Lee, what has happened? Faith
exactly
in
that.
These teachings are no longer universally. You know, now they're against Christianity. Now you read these Barna worldview surveys and Pew and Gallup and Lifeway research, and you're going, wait a minute, only 6% of Americans, that's 5 plus 1 for those of you keeping score at home, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview? How did we get here? Let me go back to Harvard University real quick, give you a quick example. Harvard University, when they first got going, John Harvard was a minister. He was a theologian. Yeah. He started the university. The first, I believe, dozen graduates of Harvard were ministers. They were pastors. They had theological degrees. They were deep in theology, and they understood the Bible and Scripture. They could translate into Greek and things like that. Oh, my goodness, but that was in the 1600s. Anyway, bring it back to around, I think it was in 1636, if I remember right, they came up with a motto, three words, truth for Christ and the church. It was a shield with three sections in it, truth for Christ and the church. In 1836, I believe it was, the 1800s, they removed Christ and the church. Let me ask you, if you remove the biblical worldview, remove Jesus, and remove the church, Jesus, literally his body, the salt and light on earth, if you remove that, whose, quote, truth are you trying to teach? And the word is veritas. If you look up Harvard's logo today, there's one word, veritas. And now you can register for at Harvard University as a freshman as one of, I don't know, 50 some gender possibilities, and they're all woke there. Well, what the heck happened? And it's not just Harvard, it's Yale, it's Oxford, it's all these Ivy League schools that were so deep in the biblical worldview, they were actually teaching theology. Well, this is what happened. Our founders knew this, so that's part of the reasons they tried to pass some of the amendments they did, particularly the one on religious freedom. And I'll let you ask your next question, but that's something that is just gives you an idea of where we've fallen from in America.
They want our money to pay for this, and we're kind of funding our own demise, so to speak.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a dilemma. For example, Amazon. I mean, my book, it's crazy. Because of the body of Christ, I think people are awakened to the fact that we don't like being censored or silenced. It's doing very well. Nothing that I'm really doing. People are going. It's number one in a couple different categories.
Well, I'm looking at Amazon right now. It's listed as a bestseller right at the top of the page.
Yeah, it's crazy. I actually had to take a screenshot. I was above David Horowitz, Ben Shapiro, and a couple others. I'm going, wait a minute. No one knows who I am. This is a head scratcher. But anyway, because of the timeliness of the book, but Amazon is one of those places where if you want to influence people, if you want to get your message out there, unfortunately, you have a choice to make. That's one of the vehicles you can use. You don't have to, but I choose to use it. But I've got a chapter called Beyond Bias, a one-party media big tech conglomerate. And this is what I started writing and blogging years ago because of media bias. In another life, I should have been a journalist. But just reading about just how far the news has fallen. Let me go there's a quick study that just came out. It says 72% of Americans believe, this is what a majority of Americans believe recently, traditional major news sources report news they know to be fake, false, or purposely misleading.
Well, David, that's only this program and Fox News and Breitbart. They're the only ones that do misleading news, right?
Oh, right. The only people that are conservative on the right. No, but people believe the lies, and they're so easily deceived. I'm telling them, get away from these sources. Find new sources. That's the media narrative. But on social media, for example, on Facebook, I used to be able to get my message out, share blogs, articles, whatever. I tried to put four different ads, five now, for my new book, and they were all rejected by the powers that be at Facebook. I wonder why. It's the biblical worldview. So, well, first of all, it's confusing because, well, that's not a really good business model to not accept money when people are trying to advertise, but they can do whatever they want. They can reject ads. They can shadow ban you. I've been shadow banned for years. I'm sure most of your listeners know what that means. You can post something. You can see it on there, but they can prevent you from being seen. They can prevent it from going to other people's news feeds. This is the way big tech works, and because they're all Democrats. I call it the Democrat media complex, and that's their worldview. They don't want to debate. They don't want to hear the other side, even if we're right.
Right.
Even if there's truth involved, they would rather silence it because they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's very true. And I will give a little credit to Amazon because you can still find, at least on the book section and stuff like that, they have stuff. I mean, they have stuff out there that I don't agree with, but they also have books like yours, David, and others. You can still get the Bible there and things like that. I give them credit there. But again, when you get to the social media, when you get to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I mean, that's where we're really seeing a lot of this, the shadow banning, the cancel culture. You know, our radio stations, some of them off and on are in the same boat. I believe on our news talk station, we just got out of Facebook jail, so to speak, where you can get ads again. But this is what they're doing and how they try to silence. And, you know, I think sometimes they hope we just kind of to give up. And this kind of goes back to what I was mentioning before we, coming back to the break about, you know, the division and how divided we are. But this is actually creeping in to the church as well. Now, we've had you know, denominations and things like that, and people say, well, that's a division. Well, this is going much deeper. So where do you think this goes? Are we going to be able, as a body of believers, to come together?
No. Short answer.
Yeah.
I personally believe, first of all, Jesus himself, he said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. The church is so divided over so many issues, but biblical issues, scriptural issues is the big thing. I believe what we're going to end up seeing is a state-influenced or a state-run church, meaning government being God, because some people say the best way to help the poor is to get government involved. Yeah. Well, that's social justice, that's socialism, that's a whole other thing that Jesus never talked about. He never went to the Romans and said, hey, Rome, he didn't never rallied to get Rome to pay for churches or to help the poor. No, he said the church, you help them. You give to the poor. Now, there's a different argument. The church has not done a good enough job. We can have that discussion, but that's completely separate from bowing down to government, to Caesar, and getting government involved. But he did say if a kingdom divided against itself will fall. I quoted Rush Limbaugh in that chapter on the divided church and state. And I purposely worded it that way. It's church and state because that's the second biggest lie in America, the separation of church and state.
Oh, yeah.
But the church itself is divided. Just like the country is divided, the church is as well. And Rush Limbaugh said there cannot be a peaceful coexistence of two completely different theories of life, theories of government, theories of how we manage our affairs. We can't be in this dire a conflict without something giving somewhere along the way. And Lee, I don't know how much time we have left, but I want to squeeze in something real quick. One of the main catalysts for me that led me to write this book was the year 2020. Of course, everything that built up to that year, the political upheaval, the division in our country, the constant attacks on Trump, the negative news, and then we were in a political election year, and then COVID-19, and we divided right. over masks, we shut down our churches, we allowed the government to deem us non-essential, one of our biggest failures as a church in America, I believe, in general. Some churches, you know, stayed the course, most of them did not, we folded, and then came the Black Lives Matter global network. And I have to put it that way because it's not just this idea
right.
of standing against racial injustice. You got to say the Black Lives Matter global network because they're funded by the left. They funded, actually, the money that you donated to BLM went to the Democrat Party. That's in the book that you can look it up. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. But what the problem is, Lee, the church was confused about many of these things. And they were well-meaning, but they locked arms with this anti-Christ, anti-family, anti-Christian organization that was a Marxist-driven entity because they wanted the virtue signal. I don't know. They wanted to go out on the streets. Yeah, this is the big movement now yep. last summer, right?
Yep.
Black Lives Matter. Well, of course they do, but that's not what they're talking about. We saw LGBTQ rainbow banners. We saw pink banners for Planned Parenthood. We saw, wait a minute. What does this have to do with racial injustice? So all these groups that were against the biblical worldview were coming together in this almost this coalition, which I rattle off in the book. There must be like 20 or 30 of them. And it's really they're odd bedfellows. But the bottom line is they were all against the biblical Christian worldview.
And that's exactly where this is going. We mentioned it earlier. You talked about, you know, how to engage those and just having that conversation, asking some questions, because I think sometimes people aren't as far off as we see. I know every now and then I think, gosh, this is just we don't have a hope. We do have a hope in Christ. And I drive past churches and I see, boy, there's some parking lots that are full. And I know there's some good Bible teaching churches out there. So people are getting fed, but we just have to be activated. And again, it can seem discouraging through all this, but we do need to stand strong. And I think in one aspect, when it comes to our government schools, it's there are good teachers, but we're up against the teachers' unions, which is really the issue. And we're up against school boards and school principals. We're up against people who don't have want to disregard the Constitution. Just like I said earlier, that conversation I got in where they agreed with everything I said about the Constitution, but they said that doesn't make it right or fair were the terms they used.
Yeah, we've kind of lost our anchor, our moral underpinnings, haven't we? Our fixed foundation that we were founded upon, that would be the biblical worldview, Judeo-Christian principles, and that's what our founders believed. They were not all Christians per se, but they all believed in the one true God. Their faith may have looked differently, but they all agreed that this is what we base our Constitution, the laws of nature and nature's God, and our country on. As far as what you said about being fed, I just don't know, Lee. I'm a recovering Pharisee, and I'm learning to give more grace now these days. But I think the time for grace is running out as far as how we see others and what we assume. We always want to give people the benefit of the doubt when a lot of these churches are not teaching sound doctrine. They are not even talking about prophecy. Some of them have done away. They don't want to teach the Old Testament, for example. The whole counsel of God. What does that mean? One of the simplest things, God being the creator, first of all, he exists. Secondly, he is the creator. You've got to eliminate God as creator in your worldview to come up with this moral relativistic garbage of gender, and you can be whatever sex or gender you decide. You've got to remove the truth of creation. That is part of the biblical worldview. Christian children are
removing science.
About this.
Yeah. They don't follow their science. I know that Jan's a regular guest on the show once a month, and you know that's one of those things we talk about a fair amount is, you know, where we are, what churches are teaching. I mean, going back to what you said, our church, we never really technically shut down. Well, the doors were unlocked, but for about 1 week, we'd always done online, but we kept right on going, and if people showed up, they showed up, and that's what we did at our church. And there weren't many churches, you're right about that, that stood up to everything we went through with that pandemic.
Oh, yes, and that was one of the main things that caused me to write the chapter called Did the Church Pass the COVID Test?
Yeah.
And short answer, no. But you said science, and I like to quote the Princess Bride. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. When the left or someone that's this progressive guy, they have a secular progressive worldview. When they say science, they mean progressive environmentalists or science on their side.
Right.
What does science mean? Let's get simple here. Science simply means knowledge. Conscience is with science. Science means knowledge. We know that there's a God. God, in Ecclesiastes, it says everyone has this void that only he can fill. This God-shaped hole song was put out, you know, a couple of decades ago. This God-shaped hole. And he says he set eternity in the hearts of man. So we are missing something as human beings. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're separate from your creator. We know. We just don't understand always how to get there. So believers, when you hear people say science, and this has caused a big division in the church as well, how we reacted to COVID, whether we did masks, whether we're going to follow the vaccine passport and whatever else, there was so much blown out of proportion that I know we're running out of time, and you've talked about, I'm sure, on your show quite a bit how the media is complicit, I believe, in thousands of deaths across the country because of what they did report and what they did not report.
Right, absolutely. And I think you're so right that the one thing that changes hearts and minds is Christ, and that's where we have to stay focused on the gospel and getting the good news out there and having those conversations with our friends and our neighbors and our relatives and our coworkers because first and foremost, we need to get them saved if we are, you know, that ultimately that's what it comes down to is where they're going to spend eternity. David,
Amen.
It has been a real pleasure to have you on the show. We will definitely get you back because we're just kind of picking at it to start here. But blessings to you, my friend.
Hey, God bless you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.